following program is brought to you by your friends at TheForce.net.
Oh, Maxi bit the Force.
And RebelScum.com.
You Rebel Scum.
The galaxy is listening.
Who need that? No, no, no. Oh, Lawa. Who need that?
Welcome to the Forcecast, your weekly dose of Star Wars news and much more.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe. I suggest we use it.
All systems have been alerted to your presence, sir.
Check it out, Corporal.
Roger, roger.
Now your hosts of the Forcecast, Jason and Pete.
We would be honored if you would join us.
Well, I'll tell you, Jimmy, Max, Microcast doesn't get us sued, nothing will.
We're emboldened.
Yeah, I tell you what. That's right. We're going to start playing like the whole movies, you know, right here on the show. Oh, my. Welcome, Forcecast fans, Star Wars fans around the globe. Welcome to the Forcecast for your episode for the week of May 4th, 2007. And Pete has a special message.
May the 4th be with you. It's National Star Wars Day, or Intergalactic Star Wars Day, if you want to go on a grander scale. Of course, it is May the 4th. And, of course, we hope it will always be with you.
That's correct.
Or be with you always, just depending on which way you want to say it.
Right, 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 right. Whether you want good grammar or good taste. We'd like to give a shout-out to our sponsors, Official Picks. They do make this show happen, so please check them out over at officialpicks.com and make sure that you, more importantly, visit their booth at Celebration 4 if you're going out there. And, you know, a couple weeks ago, Pete and I talked about, we get a lot of emails from listeners that they want to get involved. They don't just want to sit passively and listen to this show or read TFN or go to the convention. They really want to get involved in fandom. And one great opportunity, just go over to officialpicksvolunteers.com. And they will, all the instructions on how to volunteer to work the autograph hall at Celebration 4 is right there. Ann and the gang at Official Picks, they really need some more volunteers. So if you've been thinking about it, and you're going to be at Celebration 4 anyway, it's a great way to spend your time. I think we'd be doing it if we didn't have, everything that we need to be doing.
Well, and it's another good way to not only meet Star Wars personalities, but also people in the Star Wars community themselves. You know, you're going to run into Anne, you're going to run into, you know, maybe us and Dustin Roberts, I'm sure, will be around, right. And all those guys who have been involved in the community, and get to know them. They're great people, and who knows what may happen down the road.
You never know. You never know.
You may be two nerds sitting in a basement recording a show.
I didn't write that line. I did not call us two nerds in a basement.
No, it's not two nerds.
They took the. I think well, Pete, you're referring to the story that ran, the local story here.
Yes, our local press.
Yeah, I tell you what. Even when you actually write exactly what you want, the press will still get it wrong.
Yes.
How'd they screw that up? I literally did not write that. You know,
it's the old J. Jonah Jameson way of writing headlines.
Right. But anyway, well, so please check it out at officialpicksvolunteers.com. If you're sitting on the fence, maybe that'll... I mean, you get some free stuff. I mean, that's the cool thing. They're not going to pay you in cash, but they're going to pay you with autographs.
In trade.
In trade, that's right. So, and then you get the warm fuzzy of knowing that you helped out, you know, the biggest Star Wars party of the decade. You know?
Yeah,
it's not a small thing.
Yeah.
A few things we wanted to mention. We didn't get a chance last week. First of all, I'd like to say thank you to Steve Sansweet for taking the time to give us just that incredible update on where C4 stands. And we broke a little bit of news on the show last week. And anybody who's having problems downloading last week's Forcecast, we are looking into this. I think we have found the problem. But as of earlier today, that show was missing from iTunes.
From the annals.
Yeah, so hopefully we'll get that up, and we apologize for any inconvenience. But again, thank you to Steve Sansweet for that. We also want to thank Tom Hodges and Chris Holika for their incredible contribution to the new Forcecast logo. And we've only gotten one I don't like the new logo email.
I didn't even know we got one.
Yeah, we did. We did. But we've had a number of we like the new logo. So much so that they're willing to fork out some cash to wear a t-shirt with it. So
yes. Breaking news, if you didn't hear it last week, after planning for quite some time to make it available, we do have ForceCast logo merchandise available at our Cafe Press store. So
Chotch and merch for those of you in the know.
Yes.
There's coffee mugs, there's t-shirts, there's ball caps, even the kind of nasty trucker cap. And I say that with love because my uncle only wears nasty trucker caps, you know, with like the foamy front and the netting on the back. You know, I love my uncle, but man, that's the only ball cap for him. So we've got a little bit of everything there. Pete, I know you stocked up.
I did. And, you know, keep an eye out for me. You may see me roaming around in my gear. I'm hoping that by the time the show goes live, I can have some photos up either somewhere in the forums or on my MySpace page or wherever.
You're going to be modeling?
Sporting the logo.
I like that.
Yes.
Maybe we could get you on the Cafe Press site.
And if you decide to buy it, even after seeing me in it, I know it's good stuff.
Oh, man. Well, so again, thanks to Tom Hodges and Chris Holika for that. And Dustin Roberts. Dustin really... He coordinated all of that between Tom and Chris, and so we want to thank him as well.
And it was an exhaustive task for him. We really appreciate the fact that he was willing to go the extra mile to get this taken care of for us before C4 so that we could have that to roll out.
Absolutely. And he put up with me. But I don't know about it. Well, it's one of those things where the more you look at it, when you're so close to the situation, you tend to be extra critical.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the thing. It's what I do. it's my day job.
And I'm used to it, so I don't even realize it anymore.
I do like logo quality control.
It's an important job. Don't downplay it.
But anyway, I love it. I'm
hooked.
Totally into it. So anyway, another thank you. And I don't even know where to begin with this. As you all know, we've been talking about the Art of Ralph McCoury book that is coming out this month. Our good friends over there, John and Stan, who have put this together, talk about a labor of love. This book is unbelievable, and they've been very, very kind to us. So kind, in fact, that here at the ForceCast Studios, we received an unbelievable care package from them. That included some incredible items, and I don't want to go into too much detail. I haven't spoken with John or Stan about this, but one of the things in there was a copy of the book. And I tell you, if you are a Star Wars fan, and in particular a fan of, you know, learning everything you can about the development of the films and how they came about, I can't think of that. Really, two Bibles in my mind. One, the annotated screenplays, and two, this book, The Art of Ralph McCoury.
It is visually, it is just jaw-dropping.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
And, you know, you pick it up and you... Obviously, the cost thing is always something that's running in the back of a Star Wars fan's mind, because we always have to deal out how we're going to spend our limited collectible bucks. But it's one of those things where it will be the centerpiece of your collection. It's something that, you know, just the box itself,
yeah,
sitting on your coffee table is something that's just absolutely stunning, and
it's just a gorgeous book. And I gotta hand it to the folks at Del Rey and the various publishers of Star Wars books. They all do great work, and there's been some wonderful publications out there, but this thing is just, well, I mean, it's Ralph's art, so how could it not be gorgeous?
Well, yeah.
But it's just presented with such care and such love, and it's fantastic. And we wanted to give you an update, too. If you go over to their website, dreamsandvisionspress.com, there's some information about some signed exclusive book plates that you can get. There are various book plates that correspond to the different editions of the book. The deluxe edition, as of now, is sold out. They have a waiting list. You might want to consider getting on that. They're also not sure how many books they're going to actually be able to bring to Celebration 4. So anybody who's interested in any of the signed copies, go ahead and pre-order. They're wanting you to do that. So check that out at dreamsandvisionspress.com. com. So John and Stan, thanks, guys. It's unbelievable. I never thought, I really didn't think we were going to get a copy of the book. We kind of joked about it, you know, hey, send us one, but it was kind of like, you know.
Yeah, and to see it just sitting there, you didn't tell me before I got here.
Yeah, no, I wanted it to be a surprise.
I actually looked, and just didn't talk for a couple minutes, and then I woke up, and it was starry and bright, and I was like, oh, this is like a magic dream.
It's very, very cool. You remember pop-up video?
I do.
I guess we're dating ourselves. I don't know. Is that old now? That's like 10 years old, isn't it?
Well,
I know.
I lost track, you know.
Well, anyway, over at the official site, StarWars.com, they've got this new feature, the Star Wars Episode 4 Visual Guide, and they're actually taking it chapter by chapter. As far as the DVD, the 2004 DVD release, chapter by chapter, and breaking it out with all these little factoids about the movie. And the first three, as of this show going live, the first three are up there now. And the first one is the opening logos. I mean, they talk. What was that?
We're being invaded.
The Forcecast studios are falling down around us. But this first one is about the opening logos, and they even talk about the 20th Century Fox, you know, how it was originally a painting, that logo. Mm-hmm. And then you remember the Lucasfilm logo before it was an actual logo. It was just like the that Arial green font, you know. And, I mean, they break it out.
Well.
And they tell you, like, well, when that changed, and little details like that are really interesting. And so this is going to be a really cool series to follow. So hats off to StarWars.com. This is again, an example of them doing something that only they can do.
Right.
And I mentioned it just a minute ago. If you're a fan of my favorite Star Wars book of all time, which is the annotated screenplays, you'll really like this visual guide. It's very, very cool. So check that out. And, well, it's probably that time. How's that for a groovy transition? Show notes say it's time for the Road to Celebration.
You are stretching, my friend.
All right, we've got how many weeks to go, Pete?
Three. Count them, 3 weeks. It's hard to believe we've been doing tips for as long as we have, and hey, it's right in front of us.
Oh,
3 weeks, less than a month away. So get ready. And, of course, here's another tip. And this comes directly out of my conversations with some of the artists that I spoke to this week that are going to be at C4. And those interviews, the full interviews, are going to be available in our upcoming spectacular pre-celebration show. So keep an eye out for that.
But we're going to have Jimmy name that show, because I love the fact that his microcast was the special request special.
That's fantastic. But that's coming, and there's going to be some great information in there. But in talking with the artists, one thing that they're all, not all of them, but a lot of them are going to be doing in order to maximize their own time and also make things as easy as possible, a lot of them are doing either pre-orders or reservations or something to allow you to track down the prints that you want. So take a look at the artist pages on StarWars.com, all of the announcements. They have clips of all the limited edition prints that are going to be available. If you've got one that you want to get, contact the artist directly. Either go through their website, which is usually listed there. They'll have their email address. Contact them and let them know, hey, this is how it's going to be. In fact, Kat Staggs, whose print, The Spirit of 77, she put up, she emailed Dustin Roberts earlier and said, hey, put on the website or put on the force.net that if anyone wants a copy of this print, have them send me an email reservation for it. And as of right now, I counted that she's already got 50 reservations going on. And so
out of a total of 100,
out of 100, she was still questioning on how many she was going to have. But
yeah,
if you want in on this one, you might want to get a reservation out there, because, you know, they're limited edition prints. And
it's just what they say. And I mean, I was asking Pete before the show. I said, oh, really, honestly, you think you need to pre-order these things? And he told me what he just said. 50 out of 100 are spoken for Cats. And so if you're counting on one of these, just save yourself the peace of mind, because nothing's going to, I mean, there's going to be enough exclusive items that you don't think you're going to be, or won't have a chance to pre-order.
Right.
So you're going to be kind of on edge as it is. So just anything you can pre-order, pre-order. We've had that tip before, but this is very specific about the artist prints because they are so limited.
And just email them and ask them.
Email the artist.
About how they're doing it. Some of them aren't doing a pre-order or anything like that, so, you know, that's cool as well. But if they are and you definitely want to get in on it, make sure you do so beforehand.
3 weeks to go till Celebration 4. Unbelievable. Where's my Dramamine?
calling your name.
We got lots of Celebration news coming up in our headlines in just a minute.
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you.
He discovered the Ark of the Covenant. But 1 year later, he will travel once again for something else. The Golden Idol of Fertility. If adventure has a name, it must be Indiana Jones. West Side Nerd Productions present James Burns, Pete Baker, George Stewart in a James Burns adventure. Indiana Jones and the Golden Curse, coming soon.
Well, we've got our own Indiana Jones update here. And it's not about Indy 4.
What?
No, it's not about Indy 4. It's actually about the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles. We know that there are a lot of fans listening to this show that are big Indy fans and fans of not just the films, but the television series as well. According to a recent story that at theforce.net, the Indiana Jones, or Young Indiana Jones Chronicles, these little documentaries, these historical documentaries that we've been hearing about from George Lucas and Rick McCallum for such a long time, 94 of these things, they just signed a deal with the History Channel, and they're going to be aired on the History Channel. They're going to be available on the website, History Channel International, regular History Channel, and the interesting thing here is that it mentions that the TV movies, which the episodes have been kind of compiled into TV movies, in a sense.
Right.
Are going to be airing on History Channel and History International as well. So it's interesting because, you know, obviously they're going to be gearing up for the DVD release. There was an interview with Rick McCallum last week we didn't get to because of our exclusive interview with Steve Sansweet. But there are a few little tidbits dropped, and one of them was they would like to have the Young Indy series released in time for Christmas. But this is a situation where it's kind of out of their hands. It's really up to the studio that's releasing it.
Right.
I don't think the indie films have the same kind of the same kind of deal as the Star Wars films in terms of how much control they have over them. But at any rate, this is great news.
Absolutely.
I kind of missed this series the first time around. I think I watched the pilot, maybe, and that was it. But great opportunity to catch these things, and Lucas was really, really wanting to hit up the educational value behind these, and went to great pains to have some historical accuracy, and so far as to even make these documentaries. So, great service that he's provided. I would much rather have watched those in history class, I think,
than the history of sand, which was on the old, you know, reel.
Yeah, right. The History of Sand.
Yes. I got to see that one 7 times.
Were you the one that got to flip the film strip?
Yes, that's right. Only if I was good that day.
Oh, my gosh. Well, there's your Indy 4 update. We've got Star Wars headlines. This is a Star Wars show, after all. Coming up in just a moment.
I have good news for you, my lord.
That's good news.
Come closer, I have good news.
We've got good news, too. It's all good news if it's Star Wars news. We were just talking about the History Channel. Well, it's official. The rumored History Channel documentary about Star Wars, the legacy of Star Wars, is going to... We've got a date. It's going to be on the History Channel on May 28th. It's going to premiere. Of course, like anything else that runs on the History Channel, it'll be on constantly.
Several times,
which is
I guess.
Actually great. I mean, yeah. I don't know how many times there's been a really, really cool documentary that I've wanted to see, and you can always rely on it. You know, it'll usually in the premiere night, they'll run it back to back several times. I don't know about this one in particular, but oftentimes that is the case. I just wish we had History Channel in HD in this area. But don't. Drat.
We know that we...
I'm never satisfied.
Yeah. That's a whole other story.
Yeah. But at any rate, this is going to be great. I hate to bring up the four-letter word, T-R-E-K. But my Trek fans out there, they know that History Channel has been really kind with covering the historical significance, the cultural significance of Star Trek. And it's about time, by golly, that they do the same with Star Wars. So this is really cool. I mean, some of the people that they're getting on for this this little documentary here, well, 2-hour documentary, Star Wars: The Legacy Revealed, Newt Gingrich, Speaker Newt, Nancy Pelosi, Dan Rather, Peter Jackson, Camille Paglia, and a bunch of different thought leaders, which I thought that was an interesting term, discuss the charm, enduring impact, and mythic underpinnings in a 2-hour special, Star Wars: The Legacy Revealed, again on the History Channel, May 28th at 9 o'clock p.m. We, of course, will be in Los Angeles, so hopefully we'll be able to get a gang together and watch this. But I'll be TiVoing it, just in case.
Absolutely.
Just some things here from their press release. The special makes the argument that Star Wars' intensely compelling stories, borrowed from diverse traditions, from Greek mythology and American Westerns to the Bible and even vaudeville, compel us to explore some of the biggest questions of our time. Star Wars: The Legacy Revealed explores that view through interviews with politicians, academics, journalists, and critics who all weigh in on the creations of George Lucas. The special shows how seldom a movie can make us laugh and think about our role in the universe, which may be why it has stood the test of time.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to be incredible. And
I'm very happy to see how they're going about it. I mean, it's not another Empire of Dreams, which was a great documentary.
Yeah, right. It's not about the making
it's
of the films.
It's not about Star Wars. It's about Star Wars as a part of, for lack of a better term, the universe.
Right, right,
you know,
right.
And how it's impacted many, many other things. And, you know, some rather influential people in our country, let alone around the world. So I'm very excited about it, and I know they'll do a fantastic job with it. So,
well, you know, if you can get you know, Nancy Pelosi and Newt Gingrich together to work on something, the former Speaker of the House that led the Republican Revolution in 94, the current Speaker of the House that led the Democratic Revolution of, you know, it's amazing. But you know what? Does that not speak to, hey, I want to be a part of this?
It goes across boundaries.
It's Star Wars. I don't care, you know, if it's my arch nemesis. You know, we're gonna bury the hatchet just long enough to talk about how cool Star Wars is. So there's a quote here by Tom Brokaw who says that the enduring appeal of Star Wars is that it's, now keep in mind, this is the guy that wrote The Greatest Generation. So the enduring appeal of Star Wars, according to Tom Brokaw, is that it's this vastly entertaining piece of cinema that also leaves you with the idea that there are some real issues out there that we ought to be thinking about: good and evil, right and wrong, and heroism. Generations of people a long time from now will be enthralled by it, just as we are enthralled by the story of Robin Hood or King Arthur's Court or any of the Shakespearean tales. I love that quote because I work in, you know, my day job, we were talking about earlier, I work with people who consider themselves to be very cultured.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what often is the case, these folks that consider themselves cultured miss the fact that at one time, what they consider now to be culture was pop culture. Yes, folks, Shakespeare was the Andrew Lloyd Webber of his day. Okay. Let's be quite honest here. And I think Brokaw really hit it on the head. Luke Skywalker will go down in history with Robin Hood, you know, with King Arthur, with Hamlet,
mm-hmm.
you know, Anakin Skywalker. I guarantee you more people know the story of Anakin Skywalker than know the tale of Hamlet.
Sure.
And you'd find people that would go, oh, that's terrible. But you know what? If you went around in Shakespeare's day and said, I bet more people know about Hamlet than do maybe certain Bible stories or other, you know, historic. You know, it's an evolution. It's a process.
Right.
And it just sounds like this documentary has kind of hit it on the head with, you know, not saying, oh, let's look at this cutesy, fun, pop culture-y type thing. You got real thinkers in here saying, look, this made a significant contribution to the overall culture of this country and of the world.
Absolutely. And it takes someone like that to put that into context beyond what, as a Star Wars advocate, I can ever say. You know,
right. No one will listen to you.
Right. I talk a lot about how I can never explain it to people who don't know it.
Right.
And so maybe, you know, with Tom Brokaw going, now here's the deal, that would actually...
the greatest generation.
Yes, lend a lot of credence to what I've been trying to bang my head against that same drum for quite some time. So,
yeah, well, now when people say, well, what do you like about Star Wars so much? Just say, you know, ask Tom Brokaw.
Yeah, he's pretty much got
ask
it down.
Newt Gingrich. Peter Jackson is also going to be in the documentary as well. It's going to be great. I'm really looking forward to it. I think that it's going to cover a lot of the making of, too. I think that's going to be a portion of it. But
sure.
I think the cultural significance of it is going to be there. And if anybody caught, you remember the Bill Moyers interview with George Lucas right around the release of Episode One. And of course, Bill Moyers was the fellow that interviewed Joseph Campbell in that documentary series.
Right, okay.
He did a great hour-long interview with George right before Episode One came out. What a fabulous interview! One of my most favorite pieces of footage of George. A great interview with him, just talking about the mythology of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm kind of hoping that they hit up on that too. So very, very cool. I'm excited. It's not just another Star Wars documentary. This one's going to be great.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now here's something interesting. We got a listener to the show, Scott, emailed us and said, Jason and Pete. Now, the subject line of his email is Scoop of the Year? ? He says, Jason and Pete, I may have come across a major scoop, and I wanted you two to hear it first. Since I author DVDs for a living, can I just say, you never know who's listening to this show.
Right.
And you can't, again, this is about Star Wars fans, you just never know.
Right.
You know, these aren't, again, not people that are just living in mom's basement or whatever the stupid stereotype
of the
time is.
The
so here's a guy that,
is.
You know, he authors DVDs for a living. I always like to keep up on the latest releases, especially in HD DVD and Blu-ray. I was looking through Amazon, and guess what I came across? If you do an Amazon search under the following ASIN numbers, and he lists them, I won't read them, we can have a link on our show notes. And I promise, we're actually going to have show notes this week. Yeah.
Believe it when I see it, pal.
As soon as I can teach Pete how to do it. Anyway, and Pete goes, yeah, as soon as Jason does an EU microcast. Anyway, we're getting off the track. He gives these ASIN numbers that you run on Amazon. You see them come up as three packs of episodes 1 through 3 and 4 through 6 in the Blu-ray format. Is this any hard proof? Who knows? But it is a good indication that we might see Star Wars in a high def DVD format this year. I did a Google search and a couple of other sites show it as well. Love the Forcecast and wanted you two to get first shot at this. I'm not sending it to any other sites. So we want to thank Scott for that. I don't know. I mean,
well, this is a big can of worms.
Yeah. I don't know because I don't know enough about the way the lines have been drawn, which studios are backing which. I know that Sony is a Blu-ray backer.
Right.
Of course, with the PlayStation and as far as 20th Century Fox, I really couldn't say.
Right, and that's ultimately what it's going to be, is this a shot across the bow to HD DVD saying Blu-ray's coming ahead? You know,
yeah, because it could, well, if it's true that the saga is coming out in Blu-ray, you can kiss HD goodbye.
Right. Well, and that's the thing, is that this is such a major release.
Yeah.
That, you know, it's the type of release that for all of our fans, I'm sure, and for myself and everything, it influences what you're going to buy. If you're still on the fence,
right,
there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I mean, you know, I waited for a long time to find out about video games to see what platforms things are going to be released on, and Star Wars games influence what platform I'm going to buy.
Mm-hmm.
So this again can be the same way. So you know, if it's true, and
it's a make or break title for the format. I absolutely think that's the case. And you know, I don't know really how I feel about it. I know that I hate the fact that there's a format war. I think it's just ridiculous in today's day and age to go through that.
Again.
Because you know that there's going to be a loser. I mean, if you look at, Laserdiscs were able to kind of hold on through the VHS and the Beta wars, but then DVD came and that was
DVD
the
and
end
DivX.
Of laser. Yeah, DVD and DivX, VHS, Beta, and you know, you ask some real video files, they're going to tell you that Beta was the superior format. But that VHS just caught on because, you know, I don't know. It could have been, who knows.
It could have been Star Wars saga was released on VHS only.
Actually,
you never know.
Well, no, it was released on Beta. It was released on Beta. I don't know if all three of them.
You stole my point.
You didn't need to deflate it with your nerd knowledge. We'll get an email about this. I might as well break it to you.
That's true.
You'd rather hear it from me than, you know, tomorrow morning.
Yes.
But, no, seriously, I mean, I don't know if the whole trilogy came out on DVD. I do know that episode 4 did hit Beta. And all of the films made it out to episode 1 made it out onto Laserdisc. So, getting back to the email, it is a make or break title, I think, for the format. The fact that there are three packs, I mean, I've seen this kind of thing with Amazon before.
Yeah, that's also another thing that makes you leery. But again, there's been confirmation on other sites as well. So again, maybe just a shot across the bow.
It may be. So just everyone know, you heard it here first. Thanks to Scott. If it comes out, I have to say that. At one time I had all six films in HD on my DVR, but it ate up like my whole DVR. So I had to prioritize.
Right.
And I chose the original trilogy to maintain in HD only because I felt that the DVDs of the prequels are going to be of a higher quality, you know, in terms of picture and, you know, picture. Then I don't know. Maybe that's not the case because the DVDs of the original look fantastic. But
whatever helps you sleep at night, buddy.
Thanks for your support. Anyway, couldn't have them all. All right, I have not watched it yet. You did.
Yeah, I did.
How did George do on Conan?
I thought he did a George performance. You know, I don't want to say it like in a demeaning way, or you know, but he was on there. He was generous with his time. He was happy to be there, and he enjoyed being out there. The thing that I thought made it kind of awkward was I always had Conan O'Brien pegged as a Star Wars fan. Maybe it's a stereotype, and I shouldn't be into stereotyping.
Because he's quirky and nerdy and has a random sense of humor?
Mostly because he worked on The Simpsons for so long.
Yeah.
And before it was cool to have Star Wars references and all your episodes, which, you know, I love the fact that that happens on 30 Rock and Family Guy and The Office and all the other ones that we've seen, The Simpsons were doing it.
Yeah.
You know, and they've been doing it for a long time. So I thought that that was something where he would, you know, he was kind of a fan. He was in on that. But it seemed like he was also, it was almost kind of an ancillary thing for him. It was just kind of the sidebar. And he was aware of it, but not quite.
Well,
what I expected.
Well,
I guess.
Got some clips, so let's listen to some clips. This is I don't really know what order these are in, but these are some clips of George on I just turned my mic off.
It's a banner day, yes.
Trained professionals. Excellence in podcasting, my friends. Here we go. George Lucas on Conan O'Brien.
You finally, after six films, you finally put yourself in the last one. Why did you wait so long to put yourself in the film? What instigated you to initiate this? What made you do it?
My kids wanted to be in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided this was the last shot at this sort of thing. And they wanted me to be in the scene, so, my kids talked me into it.
What about the character? The character's name is Baron, what is it, Papanoida?
Papanoida.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And did you have any say over the costume? Because we have a photo here, and I wanted to show that right here. Let's take a look. There you are as Baron Papanoida.
I'm from The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, yeah. There's a little bit of a Captain Crunch feel there, too.
Yeah.
I have this T-boot. I'm anxious to see it. That was. He does look like
there is definitely a little Captain Crunch thing going on.
Well, he seemed very relaxed there in that clip.
Oh yeah, and they do a funny exchange about their hair because Conan has that very distinct hairstyle.
It's getting bigger too.
It is obnoxiously big.
He looks like the cartoon of himself.
Yes,
now.
He does.
All right, we've got a couple more clips. So here's another clip of George on Conan.
It must stun you how the fans of Star Wars, unlike any other fans, they have mastered every detail of the films. They know the characters, they know the mythology so well that it must stun you. Occasionally they must challenge you. Okay, here you are, George Lucas, you're getting some coffee. I bet you can't answer this question.
Well, I have the advantage in that people don't know that my middle name is actually W.
Yeah.
I am the other GW.
Right.
And I am more than the decider.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the creator.
You are the creator.
I am the George with a capital G.
I see.
Yes. My employees...
You're very confident.
My employees call me God, but my children call me garbage.
I wonder if that's true about his employees.
Well, I think they should. But...
Well. No, that was good. That was good.
You know.
He does. I mean, that he's true. He does have an advantage. He's like, you know, you can think what you want, but
that's right. You are never going to win a bar bet on Star Wars trivia with George Lucas because
right.
Tomorrow it's going to come out and say, look, we changed the whole thing.
That's right.
No, sorry, this is completely different.
Oh, and you know that there are fans that do that.
Yeah,
go up and say, you know, that one thing. All right, last clip here with George on Conan.
You're doing a Star Wars television show now, is that correct? You're working on one. It's in development.
Yeah, it's an animated series about the Clone Wars.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much Star Wars. It's not a South Park comedy.
Right.
It's not a kiddies SpongeBob
right.
SquarePants. It's
right.
sort of the first dramatic animated show that is PG-13, so it doesn't really go on late night. It doesn't go on Saturday afternoon. It
right.
actually doesn't go anywhere. I don't know what we're going to do with it, but we're having a hell of a lot of having a great time
Excellent
making it.
Excellent marketing strategy.
Yeah.
You'll love it, and you'll never see it.
You know, he's actually Conan made kind of a good point there. But you know, it's Star Wars. I mean, he can release it. He can release
right.
it direct to video. He can release it on iTunes. But there's going to be networks just fighting over this thing.
Yeah, there's no question about it. But
no,
I was glad to hear him talk about it being a little bit more serious because we've been getting kind of conflicting statements. And again, it possibly could have been media taking things out of context. But this is going to be a little on edge. You know, it's not a. It's not a comedy, so it's not, and that stretching the boundaries as far as that goes, which we've seen with South Park and Family Guy and those
right,
types of
right,
things,
right.
and Simpsons back in the day. But so it's going to be dramatically something pushing the boundaries.
Didn't we have a rumor? You know, it's hard to keep track with all these rumors, but did we have a rumor recently that it was going to be lighthearted and more for kids?
Yeah,
there was a rumor. So I guess George would know.
Direct from his mouth,
right.
I'll take it more than anything. Although he will probably change his mind at least a couple more times. So,
hopefully, it shouldn't matter because they've got a number of episodes in the can.
Right. I think at this point, that's the thing is he has seen some.
We're
going to
know
episodes.
In about 3 weeks. I'll tell you that
we better. but you know, he's seen what's coming out, so he's got an idea already of what is there and what they're going to be coming out with. So
here's the irony, and I only throw this out for the naysayers. You know, the ones that all they can find is fault with the prequels. This is the irony. It took George to do a cartoon to find the serious side of Star Wars. Now that's just my cynical comment for the Forcecast, but for this week. But I mean, it is kind of strange, isn't it? In a way, I mean,
it's
for him
very
to
strange.
Find the edge, the rough edge of Star Wars. Now, no, I mean, I'm being a little you know facetious here, but. For him to find the hard edge of Star Wars here, him doing this cartoon, it's kind of interesting. It's kind of interesting. You heard it, you know, last week on the Forcecast, according to Steve Sansweet, they are working on it, that there very well could indeed be a presentation of some form, a clip, maybe an episode, who knows,
something
of the animated series. I cannot wait. Cannot wait. So it's cool to see George doing something mainstream like the Conan O'Brien show. I'm anxious to watch it on my TiVo.
And it was a fun time.
I always get a little nervous.
They always
know,
had a fun time. And if you haven't seen it, and I'll try and see if maybe we can have it for next week or whatever, but one of my favorite parts was I was getting ready to turn it off, and they had another guest on there. And I got to tell you, it's totally, I'm blanking on it right now on who the guest was. But
he was blinded by George's
yes,
celebrity.
I really wasn't paying attention, but he started talking about George. And they were kind of just, he was just telling an anecdote about how he had seen George before, and he was there somewhere with his manager, and his manager was pounding away on his BlackBerry, and George was walking towards him, and the actor was you know, kind of speechless, and his manager just kind of looks up and says, "Hey." And George smiles and says hello and walks past, and his manager goes, "Big fan." You know, like oh, well,
like
thank
over,
you for
like
saying
over
that.
The shoulder kind
yes,
of thing,
and,
an afterthought.
And he got the actor got very, really followed up on it. It's very funny. So
for you fans of Entourage out there, that's a very Ari Gold
absolutely.
That
yeah, it was very funny.
Well, you know, it's the thing about George is there are celebrities. And then there are celebrities. There are few. I mean, it's like every year when the Oscars comes around, there are celebrities that go, "I can't believe I'm going to be in the same building as Jack Nicholson."
Right.
You know, I mean, these are celebrities saying this. George Lucas is one of those. I mean, you know, Kevin Smith, Seth Green. I mean, I'm just drawing a blank, but I mean, this guy that was on. I mean,
it was Will Arnett, actually.
Okay.
I just remembered Will Arnett.
Yeah, the fellow that, I mean, there are a number of celebrities and actors and people in the business that they are starstruck by Lucas because they, again, they grew up with this influence. So cool to see him on Conan. I'm a I remember him being on very few talk shows. Actually, I remember him being on Rosie back when Rosie was a human. ironic, you know, strangely enough,
not brought to you by The View.
Yeah, no, the old Rosie show. Strangely enough, it was during Star Wars week that she had her meltdown. It's what began Rosie. I think Star Wars cursed Rosie. It was during episode one, Star Wars week. She was having Jake Lloyd on. She had George on. I think she had Natalie Portman on. And she had Tom Selleck on, and she started jumping all over Tom Selleck about the NRA, and that began it. Ever since then,
and that was it.
Crash. Anyway, see, we got some collecting news coming up, and don't forget, still on the way, C4 news.
A fine addition to my collection.
Hey, what are you trying to push on us?
He's worth a lot to me.
Action figures each sold separately.
This coming in from our good buddy Dan Curto. Who of course follows the Hasbro Q&A every week and gives us the meat, you know, the most important
the meat and potatoes,
thing. Yeah, that come out of this, and we're grateful for him to do that. He separates the tares from the wheat,
yes,
you know, the big news. But from Dan, we've got, despite the rumor mill, there will not be a McQuarrie Luke figure in Wave 5. The convention is the only way for now to get the figure. The actual Wave 5 McQuarrie figure will be announced at C4. And we have learned that Ralph McQuarrie himself did, in fact, have input on the figures, reviewing every sculpt and making comments. Now, that makes them even that much more cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I can imagine the difficulty with taking a 2D, you know, or a one-dimensional image and trying to make it into a 3D. You know, amazing. Very cool. Also, some confirmation here that the comic packs will continue through 2008, hopefully beyond. If sales are any indicator, I don't see any of these on the shelves.
They don't swing, I'll tell you that much.
They do not swing on the pegs. I kind of thought that we would see a steady supply of the first wave up until we get the second wave, but they're gone.
Yeah, they've come.
I'm not seeing them at least.
No. And it gives them real opportunities to see some of the characters that I know you want to see down the road, as I'm sure there will be comics featuring Jason and Jaina Solo and some of the other characters.
That's
that
what I'm hoping
later. And as we move forward, you know, I think we'll start seeing more of those.
Yeah. Also, we've learned that the Darth Vader TIE Fighter that's coming in the 30th anniversary collection packaging is the exact same. Same piece as the one that's shipped with the Saga collection. So not really, you know,
not earth shattering.
No, nothing really different about it. Just the box. So, but there are package collectors out there. I mean, there's Baron Fell is confirmed as being in the comic packs. Speaking of those, this is interesting. There's going to be a gift set exclusive to Walmart, most likely in July. The I Am Your Father's Day gift set. Which almost sounds like a joke, but, you know, who knows what it'll be.
I'm almost tempted to get it and give it to my dad, just because I would love to see the look on his face, because he'd have no idea what to do with it.
but he would have to act like he was happy with it.
Right, because he wouldn't know whether it was a joke from me, or I was really expecting him to be really, like, moved here, Dad. You know, so it's actually almost worth it for my own personal comedy.
Yeah, yeah. I know if I had a child, this would be the best gift you could get for me. But I'm envisioning that it's going to be, you know, obviously a two-pack with that you know, the great scene on Bespin. So.
Sounds about right.
And they already have the figures.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a repack, you know, of the figures. All they got to do is create the environment, which might be nice to get some accessories. Hopefully it'll be more than just cardboard.
Yeah.
Well, it'll actually be a physical plastic piece of environment for the figures to inhabit.
I wouldn't get your hopes up, but, you know,
have at it. We'll see what happens. This is interesting. This is something that I was kind of wondering to myself but didn't ask out loud. We had talked about the wonderful display stands that are coming out that are the various logos of the different films.
Right.
And they come with these labels, okay? And we saw they were the yellow labels.
They were on the yellow backing, yeah.
Well, I didn't realize that it was a yellow backing. I thought they were yellow labels, and I'm like, oh, those are kind of ugly. I won't be using those. But I come to find out that they're actually a clear sticker with black text or white text.
Silver text.
Yeah. Oh, what else? Speaking of Ralph McQuarrie figures, no Ralph McQuarrie Princess Leia in the works as of now. So, there's probably not going to be one.
No. You never know.
It could change. But as of now, there is a pre-Cyborg Grievous that has been confirmed. The articulation is outlined. And there are hints of surprises yet to come with this figure. So I wonder what that could be. And I would imagine that it would probably be based on the Visionary story.
Yes. As far as I know, and I can't say that I have a completely expansive knowledge, but I believe that's the only pre-Cyborg appearance, where visual appearance,
yeah,
of Grievous. So I would assume that that's the one they went with.
Sure, we'll be corrected if that's correct. If that is not
yes,
wrong.
Jay Shepard is pounding out an email as we speak.
Don't you understand? That's my Jay Shepard impression, by the way.
That's fantastic.
Also, we have kind of been told this in the past, but there's going to be some, for you Ewok fans, there's going to be some Ewok figures coming up pretty quick. An Ewok 2-pack is confirmed, and they will be new sculpts. No names yet. And there will be walklets. I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago.
Yes, your wife is very excited about the walklets.
She is. She would rather a plush walklet, which I think they had those at one time. Do you remember the plushie walks?
Vaguely.
Like, they had a lot
I wasn't
of
really, you know, my... Nowadays, I will buy almost anything Star Wars. But back then, I was very specific. I had to make sure that it was toys,
well,
plastic
and you
toys.
Were, you know, nine.
Yeah.
So there's a big difference.
Yeah. Which is really sad that that's the big difference, is now that I'm mature, I can buy anything. Right. I can buy the plush Ewok now and not feel bad about it.
And then there is news that there are more Macquarie figures coming, so if you can't find them on the shelves, you will find them eventually. Interesting to note here. I mean, how limited are these things going to be? When we spoke with Daryl back around Christmas time, you know, the idea was to keep these things limited, but at the same time, you know,
not
within reason, not make them impossible to
impossible.
Find. And, you know, you create a whole career for people on eBay, but. At any rate, we want to thank Dan for those updates. Some good news. All in all, this is just a bang up year to be a Star Wars fan,
absolutely,
and a Star Wars collector. Some new Gentle Giant items that have been announced. This really cool animated Han Solo maquette. For those of you who have been following this line of the anime, and you know, it's not just Star Wars now. There's Pirates of the Caribbean. I'm a big Munsters fan. They've got Munsters animated maquettes. These things are incredible. This is like the thing now. Even when there's no cartoon, you know, to base these on, you
to
know, to
give
take
it that animated look to
yeah,
it.
Yeah. And not, you know, anime look, like a real, you know, animated, you know, there's, I think, I don't, it seems like the it all kind of revolved around this Star Wars Clone Wars series where people looked at that and went, wow, that, what a cool way to illustrate, you know, these characters, and it's kind of morphed into all this other stuff. Also, there's a the speeder bike thing. I don't really know how to say it. It's like a big head looking speeder, but it's very, very cool. It's part of the customs line, I guess. So check it out. We'll have the notes on our show, on our links on our show notes. And I promise, again, we'll have show notes. I might even go back and do the one from 2 weeks ago. Or,
you're such a good guy.
I tell you. It's tough, man. It's tough keeping up with that stuff.
I hear you. I'm right there.
You know, it's like all I can do to get the show done. this is really, I didn't know where to put this story. But we had to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I put it in collecting because... if this ever happens, it will be a collectible.
Well, or we'll say it's a collector slash gaming.
Yeah. What do you think about a lightsaber toy that's controlled by thought? Now, this is even beyond, at least on, you know, even in the story of Star Wars, they're not controlling, you know, the ignition of their lightsaber by thought. You know, there's a button.
Well, that's always debatable. You know, they can use the force to hold
down
the
button.
Well,
that's true. That's
the
true.
Thing. So, but I agree. It's a, you know, basically what we're talking about is this, a mask where a sensor touches the user's forehead and reads the brain's electric signals, then sends them to a wireless receiver inside the saber, which lights up when the user is concentrating. Player maintains focus by channeling thoughts on any fixed mental image or thinking specifically about keeping the light sword on. When the mind wanders, the wand goes dark. It's an incredible, and there's so many things going through my mind. I'm just thinking to myself that if I were to put this thing on, it would be like Strobe Light City, as my mind continues to concentrate wander, you know, and it would be like at a really rapid pace. So, you know, I could be walking around. It would look like a strobe light.
Is that what's going on in your mind all the time? Concentrate, wander,
yeah,
concentrate, wander.
It's mostly wander, 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 wander. But, you know, but the thing, when I read this, I was thinking, why are we making a game out of this? There's got to be something better we can be using this kind of technology for.
That are paralyzed or what have you that could use this,
you know, somebody
harness this technology
that is a quadriplegic that could, you know, power their wheelchair or do something like...
Instead of powering a lightsaber with a Darth Vader helmet.
I mean, you got to start somewhere, but... But, you know, it was just it was just one of the things. I was like, oh, cool, but wait,
can't you just see the guy? It's like, now I could use this,
yes,
for good.
That's right.
But I tell you what, I got this Darth Vader helmet.
That's right.
I've been itching to.
I really want to see if I can light up a lightsaber with my mind. So,
all right.
So that is your lighthearted Star Wars update for the week.
Well, hey, what can I say? I'll buy one.
Of course I will. I'm making fun of it now, and I will be the first one in line to get
it. Have them in the stores by Christmas, Johnny. Well, we promised you some C4 news. We didn't put it in our C4, you know, countdown segment earlier, just because there's too much to talk about.
Yeah, we're finally starting to get that news coming down the pipe. So
this is pretty amazing. It's StarWars.com, I think, really puts it well. You know, the rock stars of ILM are going to be at Celebration 4. But who, rock stars? Oh, gee, who do you mean? Oh, how about John Berg, Don Beese, Richard Edlund, Dennis Muren, Lauren Peterson, Ken Ralston, and Phil Tippett? Are those good enough for you? Oh, and John Knoll, just in case that's not. Unbelievable.
I think I've heard of one of those guys.
Yeah, one or two. Unbelievable slate of ILMers to be at Celebration 4. Now, I don't actually see the details whether this is one panel or this is going to be several panels. Either way, we'll have all the news for you in the coming days. But God Almighty, the collective knowledge of these guys and the collective experience.
Yeah, I mean, these guys are all guys who have been there since the 30th anniversary and have seen the metamorphosis of ILM, and you know, just these are all pioneers, not only of Star Wars but also, you know, just how we've done movies for the past 30 years.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing. I'm so interested to hear what they have to say.
Oh, it's unbelievable. I mean, Phil Tippett, of course, the stop motion animation that he helped develop and push the envelope on, particularly with the Imperial Walkers and Empire. It's just unbelievable. Lauren Peterson, Dennis Muren, I mean, for crying out loud, this is the guy that was... This is a guy that was blowing all of George's money while George was off filming in London, and he's back in California like, I don't know what's going on. I think we're doing some special effects here. But George comes back, and he's like, what do you got to show me? And he's like, oh, dude, that's right.
I didn't know you were coming back.
But, I mean, just unbelievable. So, I mean, I imagine the stories are just going to be just too cool. So that's great. That's going to be a panel or a series of panels that you just don't want to miss. John Knoll, we'd mentioned, Steve kind of alluded to this last week, Steve Sansweet, that John Knoll was going to be there, and he's going to have his blooper reel with him. So you don't want to miss that. Also on tap is confirmed for Celebration 4 is everyone's favorite princess, Carrie Fisher. We knew that she was going to be there signing autographs, but what we didn't know was that you were going to have a chance to have a special evening with Carrie Fisher on Saturday, and it's going to cost you a little extra money. And I don't know really how I feel about this.
I've got some pretty specific feelings on how I feel about this. You know, I honestly, I'm not all that thrilled about it.
Yeah.
You know, I think
Pete's this, being negative.
Yeah, here it is. I am no longer Johnny Sunshine.
The gloves are off.
I just, you know, the expectation is obviously for her to give the time to, you know, sign autographs and that type of thing is one thing. Obviously, there's the fee that's involved with that. I certainly understand, have no problem with. But, you know, an extra
$15? Yeah.
To, you know, just to be within that, you know, and again, I'm looking back on.
I don't see John Knoll asking for another $15.
No, and I'm looking
Dennis
back on.
Muren asking for this.
On Celebration 3 and going, you know, and that was one of the best parts was all these panels that you could go to with, you know, we went and saw Jake Lloyd. And of course, we saw George Lucas and Rick McCallum and all those people who are.
That's a good point. You know, George Lucas didn't charge anything extra.
Right.
Now, I know that, you know, that Carrie Fisher makes a living doing, you know, her one-woman show. She charges for that. Now, if this was her actual one-woman show, I could understand.
Sure.
It's like, okay, you go to a convention and, you know, you pay a little extra to go to a concert or something. I mean, but this is just like a, you know, an informal, you know, evening with, you know, Carrie and Star Wars fans. You know, no script, no MC. It's supposed to be just like a really laid back, candid thing. I just don't see. It's not that I don't feel that she's worth it. It's just that I'm kind of bugged by the fact that they're charging extra money.
Yeah, I mean, we're already, you know, we're already in it for, you know, $100 or whatever you're paying for your pass, whether it's a full
and you're in your
right. And then you turn around and, you know, I'm sure that the people at Gen Con and Lucasfilm wanted to offer this and would do so at no charge. I mean, I don't believe that they are making a tremendous amount of money.
I think it comes down to, we don't know for sure. I think it comes down to Carrie Fisher and you know, and we're not trying to bash Carrie Fisher. I'm sure she's a wonderful person, but you know, I'm just being honest. You know, we're being honest. As someone who's going to this convention, putting down the money, flying out there, taking the time off work, I just kind of feel like it's a bit of a slap to have to pay an extra $15 to see what I think is just part of going to the convention.
Right. You know, I there's probably other things that are going to be going on, nothing nearly as big, but I'll probably search them out and find those instead.
Yeah. Well, one of us from the team's got to go.
I volunteer you.
Yeah, right. Also wanted to bring you up to speed here. This is, again, a great year to be a Star Wars fan. Pete was mentioning earlier, you know, The Simpsons was really ahead of its time in having all of the Star Wars references. But one of the ones that have come on the scene recently is, of course, Robot Chicken, part of the Adult Swim lineup on Cartoon Network. And one of the funniest clips I've ever seen is the whole deal with the Emperor and Vader calling him after the Death Star, the first Death Star blew up. And it's just, you got to check it out. It's on YouTube, or I don't know, maybe it's on the Robot Chicken site. I don't know, but it's definitely on YouTube. At least it was.
It was.
Yeah. But these guys, Seth Green and company, they're putting together a special Star Wars tribute episode of Robot Chicken. It's going to be it's going to air on June 17th, part of the Robot Chicken Marathon, and big lineup of guests, including the maker himself, George Lucas, Conan O'Brien, Seth MacFarlane, Robert Smigel, Malcolm McDowell, Hulk Hogan, James Vanderbeek, Donald Faison, Breckin Meyer, Joey Fatone, Abraham Benrubi, whoever that is. No disrespect, I'm just not sure who you are. Donald Faison, he's the guy from Scrubs.
Yes, big Star Wars fan.
Big Star Wars fan. We got to get him on the show. anyway,
we can dream.
Right, but at any rate, you're going to check that out. Now, why, you ask, is this in the C4 update? Because the creative forces behind Robot Chicken are going to be doing a panel discussion about the show and about this particular episode. Specifically, so you might want to check that out. I don't have any dates or times for this, but Steve did mention it last week, and I've been emailing back and forth with one of the writers on the show, so we have this confirmed. I think we're going to have him on as a guest. A little cantina action, maybe.
That'd be awesome.
Pretty cool. So that's something. And as far as I know, they're not charging anything extra for it. It's not extra to see Seth Green.
I'm going to have to say that that's probably going to be a notable
Seth Green, by the way, has made a movie in this decade.
That's going to be a notable dig for the remainder of our C4 updates.
That was low. Hey, baby, it's just business. Where's our Lando drop?
Yes.
Speaking of Seth MacFarlane and Family Guy, Pete, you've got some happy news for you, being a huge fan of that series.
I am such a huge fan of the Family Guy television show. Again, they are very active in their Star Wars references throughout their show. And the creator...
Very random, too. They don't go for the real obvious ones.
No, there are some very subtle ones that I always find very funny. And Seth MacFarlane, the creator of Family Guy, and also the voices of on the show of Peter, Stewie, Quagmire, and Brian, the dog, will be at Celebration 4. He will have a panel, and he's going to be talking about a one-hour Family Guy episode that's a tribute to the Star Wars saga that's going to debut in the fall called Blue Harvest. So
there's an obscure reference.
Another obscure reference. So you know he knows his stuff.
Oh, of course.
And we've always known that with Seth MacFarlane. I think he is a fantastic writer. He's a great performer as far as the voices go. actually won an award for his voiceover work for Stewie.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, specifically for that. So,
who gives awards for that?
It was an Emmy.
He got an Emmy?
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute.
Isn't that the daytime ones? Or the I don't know.
I don't think he got an Emmy because
let's see here.
There's no justice that Dan Castellaneta has never won an Emmy.
McFarlane has received an Emmy Award for outstanding voiceover performance for his role as Stewie Griffin.
Since when have they done those?
I would just assume.
Well, they need to go back recently. 12 years and give Dan Castellaneta an Emmy for every year that he's done The Simpsons.
Right, that's true.
It should be called the Dan Castellaneta Award.
It should be the commemorative. So, you know, one of my one of the outstanding actors as well that I love is. But getting back to Seth MacFarlane, you know, I'm so excited that he's going to be there, and I'm hoping. Doing whatever I can, climbing over people, throwing things to get a couple minutes with him, you know, maybe just to do the odd fan thing and go, hey, can you call my girlfriend and talk to her in Stewie's voice because she really likes it. So
I'm sure he's never done that before.
Sure nobody's ever requested it before either. But exciting news because, again...
I'm sorry, how much extra is he charging to see him?
I believe he's not charging anything extra.
Okay, just wanted to make sure.
If you can believe that.
Yeah.
And again, he's an Emmy Award winner. For what it's worth. Anyway, I love the fact that they are
I'm
going
to actually be there. You know, I'm talking all this trash, and yes. I will be there.
Yes.
But I love you, Carrie. I'll be crying. And not because of the $15.
No.
We also wanted to mention that a good friend of ours here at the Forcecast, Kyle Newman, the director of Fanboys, will also be at Celebration 4, and we'll have some clips of the film, some completed scenes from the movie that he'll be showing, and hopefully we'll have some members of the cast. He's hoping to have Sam Huntington, Jay Baruchel, I don't know how to pronounce his name. Baruchel? I don't know.
I think we struggled with that before, but...
Yeah, Dan Fogler, Kristen Bell. So hopefully some of these will be there. Ray Park and Jamie King should be there. This is going to be great. I mean, we interviewed Kyle, months ago about Fanboys, back in November. And fun guy, great guy. And so you don't want to miss his panel discussion. And again, I don't see the price tag on this. Yeah, I think it's just because you're at the convention.
Right.
You don't need to actually get a special.
Right. And I would assume that he's as excited to be there as you are. Unlike you paying $15 to be berated because you're... No. What's wrong with you people? Get a life.
Now we don't know.
No, I'm being overly harsh. I'm sorry. Yeah. I have switched roles with you.
You did this week.
It's amazing.
I'm pulling you back.
That's right.
But anyway, we're going to hopefully have Kyle will be joining us for our big pre-celebration for episode of the Forcecast to kind of give you an idea of what exactly he'll be talking about and why you do not want to miss his Fanboys panel. What time is it, Pete?
I believe it's mail time.
You must contact me.
Play back the entire message.
What message?
Message, Arthur. The message.
The Emperor commands you to make contact with him.
It's a trick. Send no reply.
Well, we'll start out with some Star Wars tales. This is coming from James, one of our regulars here at the Forcecast and a longtime listener to the show. Long time as in, you know, the 5 months we've been on. But it feels like a long time.
It does.
But James just wanted to share a story. He said, hey, Jason and Pete, my 2-year-old son, Jason, what a great name, and he spells it right, too, cut the top of his index finger off on a bike chain on Friday. 2-year-old. Ow. And we had to go into the Royal Children's Hospital in Melbourne. Anyway, the ambulance was there in 8 minutes. We got to a hospital in about a half an hour. They had a great staff there. They really went above and beyond the call of duty. They even offered me coffee in the emergency ward. They were attaching his finger back on at 8 o'clock at night for the next 2 days. I stayed in his room on a fold-out cot and was given unlimited access to anything in the fridge, ice cream, jelly. The operation seems to be going well, and his mother came to relieve me about 1 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. And guess what? 5 minutes later, he says, I must have missed them. 3 stormtroopers Boba Fett and the Dark Lord himself came in to visit all the kids in my son's ward. It made a huge difference to all the kids, especially my son, who I've been showing Star Wars to since he could open his eyes. I was devastated that I missed it, but I realized these guys came in for free on their own to bring... What was that? Free. to bring in some smiles to these kids who are really sick. So thank you all to the staff at the Royal Children's Hospital. Thank you to the true Star Wars fans who dress up on Sundays, and I hope they are listening now. And a special thank you to you guys, Jason and Pete, and even Jay Shepard. The Force will be with you always. Now, we did get a follow-up email from James. His son, I believe, did end up losing his finger. So we... we're really sorry about that.
Send out our best for that.
Yeah. But James has got a great attitude, and if his son's anything like him, he's going to have a great attitude, too. And I think we were going to send them a little something from the Forcecast. So we want to thank James for that Star Wars tale. And, great example of Star Wars fans. I love that. I mean, yes. How cool is that?
And that's, again, giving up their free time to go right in there, and how can you not have an ear-to-ear smile if you're an 8-year-old kid, you're sick, you don't feel well, and here come, the Stormtroopers, Boba Fett, and Darth Vader, and it would be a dream come true.
It would be. And it's so cool because, if we were to say this, pre-1999... actually, not even that. I mean, pre 2005, there'd be a lot of young kids that didn't know who Darth Vader was. So,
right.
I mean, I tell you what, if the prequels did anything else, particularly Episode 3, it really reestablished that character in the popular psyche. So, at any rate, here's a Star Wars tale. Doesn't leave his name. This came in on the voicemail line.
Hey guys, I love the Forcecast. I want to call with my Star Wars tale. I've been a Star Wars fan since I was extremely young. I remember seeing Return of the Jedi in the theaters when I was about 6. And I've been a fan my whole life. My darkest moment in Star Wars history for me was when my parents got divorced and all my Star Wars stuff got sold. I remember driving down the street, watching all my neighborhood friends buying up all my stuff. That just broke my heart. I really had an aha moment when the special edition was re-released, and it made me truly fall in love with the Star Wars saga again. And now I pass it on to my son, who has went with me to every single midnight showing for episodes 1, 2, and 3, and we are so happy to be going to Celebration 4, and we hope to meet you guys. That's my Star Wars tale. Hope to see you soon.
Well, we hope to see you soon as well, and your son. That's how cool. That makes me want to have a child. Star Wars is like the only driving force in my life that makes me want to, I'll be watching the movies and I'll be like, man, I wish I had a kid to watch this with. Yeah. And they'll be like, hey, honey. maybe someday. Yeah. Yeah. No pressure. No, you hear that, Mom?
None whatsoever.
No pressure. For crying out loud. here's a listener mail that we got from our buddy Rick in Ohio. I just thought I'd throw this out here as a little plug.
Hey, guys. It's Rick from Ohio again. Just noticed that you guys changed your iTunes or your logo on iTunes there with this past Cantina episode, and just want to say I love it, and I think it'd be a great idea for you guys to print that on some T-shirts and sell at C4 to kind of promote the show a little more, and maybe you guys can make some more money so you can get some better equipment instead of those tin cans you guys got in the basement. But speaking of C4, I have worked it out, and I will be there. I'm leaving the next morning after the wedding and flying out, and I'll get there Sunday afternoon and we'll enjoy as much as I can with the time remaining at C4. And I'll be looking for you guys to sign my iPod, so hopefully I can track you guys down. Well, look forward to hearing the show on Friday, and love the show. Keep it up. Bye.
You gotta love Rick. Rick's the guy that wandered into Canton and went to Target thinking that he might see us.
And then realized that we had already been there because all the toys were gone. That wasn't us, by the way. There's someone else that beats us to the punch. I'm not sure who it is.
I don't know, but we're going to find him.
But when we find him.
It was so... It's funny you should mention that because we just happen to have a new store that Pete mentioned earlier at the top of the show. And we'll remind you again later. Also, Cafe Press. We want to make sure that you can check that out. CafePress.com/Forcecast. So Make sure you got that. You know what I was looking for? We don't have it. I thought I had it.
What were you trying to
entertain
get?
The people, Pete?
Oh, I can't believe you put me on the spot. Here is my editorial for this week. Why Darth Maul is more than just a lackey by Pete Nadel. I hope you find this really soon. But anyway, I was listening to an audiobook the other day of Labyrinth of Evil, and they were talking about how Palpatine had run through his apprentices, is that the plural? Anyway, going through his apprentices, and they mentioned that Darth Maul was nothing more than a lackey. And I beg to differ. I believe that Darth Maul would have been a very powerful apprentice. He just been able to live past Obi-Wan. And I think he was definitely in the plans, but obviously things changed a lot in the 10 years following episode 1 and moving into episode 2. So that's just my two cents. And obviously I'm biased because I
found it.
Huge,
okay, we've heard it.
God. I am a huge Darth Maul fan to finish it up, so I may be biased, but on that note.
You ready?
I'm ready.
This is the ForceCast. Contact Jason and Pete now. Leave a message or MP3 with your Star Wars tales, comments, and questions.
Hearing my Star Wars tale on the podcast last Friday really made my day. And considering that I just recently found out about getting recommended for Navy Officer Cannon School, OCS, for surface warfare, but being on this ForceCast happened to be more exciting for me than my future career. I guess being such a Star Wars fan and hearing my voice on the ForceCast really made me feel like part of something larger.
The ForceCast. Better than a job promotion.
Email the ForceCast crew, podcast@theforce.net. Leave a voicemail, 330-871-4TFN. Using Skype, look us up. ForceCast, all one word. It's the weekly ForceCast.
Well, that's going to do it for us. With 3 weeks to go till Celebration, we've got our work cut out for us over the next 3 weeks. I don't know how we're going to get it all done.
Just try.
Just to let you know, we're hard at work trying to find every way that we can bring Celebration to each and every one of you, regardless of where you are geographically on the globe. We want to make sure that we find some way to share this incredible anniversary with you, because I'll tell you what, it's more than just a convention in Los Angeles. It's about the 30th anniversary. And guess what, folks? The 30th anniversary can be anywhere there's a Star Wars fan.
That's right.
It doesn't have to be at the convention. So we had a suggestion by a listener that said, hey, can we have people call in that might be having little, you know, get-togethers or Star Wars celebrations of their own that can't make it to C4? So let's do that. Send us a voicemail. Or send us an email. Pete, how would they do that? Where would they do that?
They can send that to us at podcast@theforce.net. Or you can send it to us via Skype at username ForceCast or the old-fashioned phone way, 330-871-4TFN.
And we'll try to remember to start a thread over on our official forums at rebelscum.com. If you can't make it to C4 and you're having some kind of a get-together, I know that there are a lot of local post offices that are having events, so you might want to check with your local post office to see when the stamps go on sale officially, if there might be something going on in your neck of the woods. Or if you just are saying, hey, Star Wars fans, show up at Park XYZ, we're going to, you know, just have a good time, or show up to my house, let's watch the movies. We want to hear from you if you're going to be doing something like that so we can get the word out. So remember, it's more than just a convention in L.A., but if you're going to the convention in L.A., we're going to have a blast, all right? For the ForceCast, thank you to Dustin Roberts, Jay Shepard, Jimmy Mack, Dan Curto, and you. I am Jason.
And I am Pete.
And remember,
the Force will be with you, always.
This podcast is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The official Star Wars site can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names and sounds of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of the Force.net LLC unless otherwise indicated.